Hold on.
Let's wait for them.
Can somebody grab me some of this mustard? Like, pick some of this. Here, I got it.
You know you have sulforaphane everywhere. Dude.
Whoa, this is a first.
You don't eat this?
This is no. Should I?
Of course.
Okay, I feel like I should wait till we... Should we do this on air?
Tastes like cauliflower.
We're not like these weaklings. Like, we are totally capable.
You are speaking music and symphony to my soul right now. I just really appreciate the courage you have for saying that and standing in your power.
Welcome to Grounded Wellness. I'm your host, Bethany McDaniel, founder of Primally Pure, mom of three, and biohacking enthusiast. We created this podcast to bring you practical advice to live a more vibrant and intentional life rooted in long-lasting health. We record right here on our regenerative farm, grounded with our feet in the soil. Exploring bold truths, overlooked wisdom, and holistic tools that support true well-being. These conversations will challenge everything you know about health and wellness. On today's episode of Grounded Wellness, our guest, Shervine Jafadieh, the founder of Symbiotica, will challenge your beliefs on all things wellness. With experience in topics like fasting, parasites, ancient wisdom, hydration, and so much more, Shervine is the perfect person to help you find limitless health. This conversation introduces a perspective rooted in intuition, biology, and simplicity, why water and minerals are foundational for healing, and how modern life has pulled us away from the things that actually nourish us. Shervine's grounded yet expansive approach invites you to question the norm, reconnect with what's natural, and trust your own intuition. Let's dig in.
Mm-hmm. Shervine, I am so excited to finally get to chat with you. We've been trying to schedule this for a while, and you are someone who has been into health and wellness, mindfulness, spirituality, all of these things for a very long time. So you are a wealth of information, and I'm so excited to learn from you and for our audience to learn from you too. And you've already taught me something. So we have these, for anyone who's listening and not watching, I'm holding a mustard seed plant.
Mm-hmm.
Shervine literally just picked this out of the pasture and started eating it, because what are the benefits of eating this?
Well, it's, you know, first of all, it's an honor to be here with your team. Love the spot. Used to drive by here all the time on the 15. I'm from San Diego. And so we'd go through here all the time. And I always knew there was something special about this corridor. So well done here. And, you know, it's interesting because I learned at an early age that if you just look outside your front door and within a mile of your house, you'll find all the nutrients and all the medicine growing around you. And in Southern California, we have so much herbage that has so many antibacterial, antimicrobial, antioxidant properties, polyphenols, detoxification pathways. This right here is the mustard flower, which is high in sulforaphane. It tastes like cauliflower, tastes like broccoli. Try it right now. And what is that stuff good for? Phase 1, phase 2 detoxification in the body. Helps the body methylate. It's good for the entire GI tract, good for the oral microbiome. I mean, it's epic. And the ones over by my house in Laguna are a little bit spicier, which could just mean a different soil, or maybe it's the salt from the ocean. I'm not sure. I'll have to look at it. But it's an honor to be here.
How much of this should I be eating? Because I'm out here a lot. Well, how much is too much? Because I tend to overdo things.
Well, sometimes you're supposed to overdo to know where your limits are.
I love that.
Yeah, it's like this whole thing where, you know, give me the exact dosage or the allopathic way. Of course, certain standardized extract compounds, you want to know exactly what you're doing because there is a good baseline of equivalence. The scientific method has been used, but we're all different. We handle things different. And sometimes you're supposed to get a little bit sick off something.
Yes.
Right?
You just made me feel so much better about that impulse that I have, because I get made fun of by friends and family for that, like, part of my personality that I tend to, like, go too hard or, you know, really close to, like, the limit on things. But that makes me feel a lot better.
You got to go berserk.
Yeah.
You know, because we got one shot at this.
Yep.
And then if you're, like, always reserved or hesitating, you just don't know exactly what your threshold is. And that I live by the hormetic principle, which is that which does not kill you makes you stronger. And so my background in Ayurveda, I went deep in our own personal apothecary and understanding what herbs are, understanding what pot herbs are, like this mustard or broccoli, and then therapeutic herbs like ashwagandha, and then understanding there are poisonous herbs. Every single herb out there, whether they're pot herbs that you're throwing in your salad or something for some kind of therapeutic process, has a little bit of a toxic effect in the body. That's how it triggers the immune response. That's how herbs work. And so eating some of that, you know, you're causing your body to elicit a response. That response then activates the nervous system, which then turns something called transcription factors on. And now all of a sudden your body can mobilize and do something cool. You know, it's really interesting. And every single herb in nature has a specific process of energy within the human body, just like our body is completely connected to the soil and the minerals, right? Mm-hmm. If I took all the, you know, all the earth out of you right now, you turn into a jellyfish and wither away within 30 seconds. You're literally made of the earth. And that's such a, you know, trippy thing to think about. You know, the silica, the calcium, the zinc, the gold in you, you know, all of these things, the magnesium in you. And that's just one of the deep meditations I have to really put me back into a state like, no, we're not separate at all.
Yeah.
Everything is interconnected.
And speaking of the earth, we are grounding right now here at the Regenerative Farm.
Yep.
What are the benefits of grounding? Tell our audience about it.
Well, you know, grounding is caught in. I remember 15, 20 years ago when I was at my cousin's longevity conferences, he'd make everybody come outside and put their feet on the earth, and they had a thermal scan, and they would scan people before grounding and then after grounding. Some people don't ever touch the earth. Like, they're either in their house, they're in their car, or they're wearing, you know, rubber shoes or whatever the hell they're wearing. And so their bodies are literally disconnected from the Schumann resonance of the earth, which is an electric pulse. It's a stimulation. It's a stimuli. There's no debate. We're in some type of electric grid, and these charges are part of our atmosphere. They're part of cultivation. They're part of health. And so if you're completely disconnected from it, you live on the 30th floor, you're living in, you're bathing in Wi-Fi and radiation all day long, your body is building up reactive oxygen species and a lot of free radicals that can't off-gas from that connection. So immediately you get on the earth, all of a sudden inflammation goes down, blood cells start to open up a little bit, capillaries open up, pathways open up, cortisol comes down, intuition raises, all of these things are interconnected. So I'm always grounding to the earth. I'm always putting my feet in the ocean, which is probably the primary primary spot, or getting up in the forest. Like in Big Sur, we hike up to certain spots. There's, you know, cold rivers. You're just, you're plunging in that, grounding to the earth. You can't just go to like a regular, like municipal park in the middle of LA, because under those parks are sewage systems and God knows what they've built underneath these cities. So that connection's not really there. I don't care if it's grass. So just a little bit of common sense has to apply. I think we're good here.
Yeah, I think we're good.
This looks good.
Yeah, grounding's incredible. And if this sounds crazy to you, just try it. You'll notice a difference. I love that it's measurable, like you said. We had Clint Ober on the show.
Okay.
And I love this quote from him. He says that the rubber-soled shoe was the most deadly invention of all time.
I don't,
like, so much sickness and disease correlates with when people started wearing rubber-soled shoes instead of leather shoes and lost that connection to the earth. It's fascinating.
Bravo to him for actually saying such a strong statement.
Yeah.
You know, I've said that statement about many things, and it doesn't mean that, you know, something has to beat the other. They're all meeting somewhere in this cross-section of our disconnection to our mother. And so I would agree to that, you know, and it's also the mindset that we, that to be extracted so far to not even understand that this is a real science and that the physiology of the human being is supposed to be connected to the earth is really a detriment to our society and future generations and the generations that we have right now. When I think about an animal, you know, and we are animals, when an animal gets hurt, what does it do? It fasts, it stops eating so it can go into metabolic autophagy, and it digs a hole in the earth and buries itself in the earth to cocoon to the mother to get those electrons and other aspects into the body. We've totally lost our way. I always say we've forgotten what we've forgotten.
Can you imagine if humans did that? Like if we, when we got sick, we dug a hole, stopped eating for a little while, like It's nature's medicine.
It's nature's medicine. And I think you're seeing it now with a lot of the disease stuff that's going on. A lot of people are now talking about, you know, inducing yourself into caloric restriction.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I want to talk to you about that too.
For sure. But you add in sunlight, sunbathing, earthing, spring water, Icelandic sea salt. Now you got something good here.
Yeah. No, Clint actually has a story too, because he grew up kind of with some Native American tribes, and there was a girl in the tribe who was sick. No one could figure it out. The elders dug a hole for her, put a campfire next to her. Someone was with her like around the clock, and she just stayed in the hole until she got better. She recovered.
I love...
So simple.
I love this... You took the word right out of my mouth. I love the simplicity of it. Mm-hmm. When you, things shouldn't be complicated to work. It's like Occam's razor, right? The simplest explanation is usually the right answer. Well, it's the same thing with our health. It's the same thing with, you know, how we move through life and relationships and building bonds and being productive to society. It can't, if it's overly complicated, that's not the ticket. Mm-hmm. It's got to be a simple solution. Like, got to take your charcoal, got to get the spring water, got to get your movement every day. All of the really, like, I would say, high-end exotic applications for radical health, some of them are cool, but without the root, it's all for nothing.
Yeah,
it's just show, and it's got fragile I would say stability, because the roots are not in the ground, you know. And you can't, I look at it like planting a cacao tree, like we do on our farm in Kauai. If you don't nurture that seedling and nurture a juvenile and get it into the earth properly from the beginning with the right sources, with the right lighting and all that stuff, it's not going to fruit for you.
And speaking of foundational things, sunshine is something I think of as being very foundational, but it's something that we are taught to either be afraid of or avoid. But what are we missing out on when we don't get enough natural sunlight?
This is also another cornerstone of being human, right? And being part of nature's ecosystem. Sunlight, our father sun, is literally the connection to rebuild every biochemical process in the human body, and to turn on the innate immune system, and to activate every neurotransmitter, and to build, you know, faculty after faculty after faculty. You know, everyone asks me, what's your sleep ritual like? You know, how important is that? And I'm sleep hygiene is huge. In our home, sleep comes number one, right? But your sleep begins on the rise.
Yep.
Right. And if you are not waking up to your own accord, meaning you don't have your own circadian clock in rhythm, if you're immediately not getting outside, whether it's, you know, overcast or not, there's still radiation coming through. If you're not getting that window of light on your face, in your eyes, if it's not getting your retina, hitting, you know, the nervous system, there's all these technical parts. I won't bore you with the science, but photobiomodulation's entering our system and is activating the nervous system to turn on. That starts a cycle of production of neurotransmitters. Acetylcholine turns into other forms, phosphatidylcholine. These are what build cell membranes. This is what triggers the immune system. This is what activates who you are. And if you're skipping that cycle, you're not only are you missing out on all that, but you're not even in a position to manufacture melatonin. Melatonin begins on the rise. And so
what you're saying is your nighttime routine, your sleep routine starts the minute you wake up.
That's right. Yep. And you can't circumvent that with, you know, pharmacology. You can't circumvent that with any technology. You can't do, you know, vagal toning to circumvent that. The origin story begins with sunlight on the body, on the naked body, if you can, in the eyes, on the scalp, big muscle parts, all of that, at least 30, 40 minutes. Now, am I advocating that you're in some equatorial region, not wearing sunblock from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m.? Of course not. There's common sense that applies here. Also, everybody's skin's a little bit different. You know, people that are from Norway, they don't need as much sunlight to basically biomodulate the D3 production, which is a hormone actually, through the cholesterol of the skin. They're just genetically dispositioned to need less sunlight than someone who's from more of an equatorial region that's got darker melanin production. So and they're also more prone to burn, right? So it's really common sense with sunlight. You got to get sunlight on your face, but I wouldn't advise summertime in Southern California to get direct sunlight on your face from 10:45 a.m. to 2-3 p.m. That's just too much of an insult on the skin if you're worried about, you know, not creating spots or having discoloration or having sun damage. So again, it's everything is common sense, and there's a dosage for everything to have a practical value in your life.
I completely agree. I love that you mentioned common sense. That's what I always say too. It's like, it's a, such a nuanced conversation.
Yep.
And the answer is not avoided at all costs. Figure out what's right for you based yep. on all of the different factors that you mentioned.
Yep.
Is there a correlation between consuming seed oils and your susceptibility to sun damage?
Yeah, the evidence is clear. You know, if you have an accumulation of trans fats in your body, they start to get pushed out towards the visceral regions, into the epidermis, into the skin. And sunlight potentiates, you know, adipose fat turning into, you know, toxic inflamed material. And that causes lipofuscin and other things to occur, and can ultimately start leading more towards more dangerous pathologies and things of that nature. For me, every time you look at a label, or every time, you got to go a little bit deeper than that too.
Yeah.
You know, you got to investigate who it is that it's coming from. And that's really, at the end of the day, that's an act of self-love. You know, I think all of the things we're talking about, getting up, having a ritual, getting your spring water in, hanging upside down, doing your mantras, doing your breath work, don't touch the phone before you do all of that stuff, whatever. These are all acts of self-love.
And I think it's unselfish to do that, because you are doing these things for yourself so that you can be a better version of you for the people in your life and for the world at large.
Hallelujah. So it's like, does anyone think it's selfish to do those things?
I think some people think of it as being selfish. And so they're like, I have to do this. I have to, you know, get back to this person, yada, yada. But it's like, no, if you don't take that time to charge your battery, you're not going to be able to do the things that you need to do for others for very long.
I completely agree. And usually people that are so depleted are unconsciously vampiric by nature, right?
Sucking energy.
Exactly. Because if you're, I know this, I've been around the community, I've been around different walks of people. People that are completely depleted, mind, body, and soul, have no clue on what's going on inside of them. They're usually in some form of escapism, right? Because they're just, they got to escape out of it. They don't feel good. And those are the people that are also reaching for things that aren't good for them. You know, usually if you're sick, you have autoimmune conditions, you have fungus infections, you have rotting cavitations in your mouth. This, a lot of people have this. Your complete microbiome is dilapidated. That's the person, usually most of the time, that is reaching for something to just get them out of that mentally, because they're sick.
Get through. Yeah.
That's also the person who's not showing up for the next person, mm-hmm. and who's unconsciously, you know, stealing energy from somebody else. So yeah, you're right. We got to get, I guess, a little bit more selfish so we can show up for people. We need a healthy population.
Yeah.
Like, I want someone to be the best teacher ever. I want someone to be the best podcaster ever. I want someone to be the best farmer ever. I want someone to be the best tennis player ever, best surfer ever, whatever it is. In order to do that, we have to be on top of our game. All the best versions of yourself come through a committed practice of self-love, and that's putting it back into the ecosystem of friendship, brotherhood, sisterhood, family, love. I really want to meet someone at a full glass, because when we can meet together, then the synergy is real. We're not talking about depletion. We're not even talking about 1 + 1 = 2 at that point. When full glasses meet each other, it's infinite potential. Every time I get with, you know, some of my cool tribe, we're cracking codes. We're not talking about a bunch of regurgitated nonsense. We're not talking about the weather for more than 3 seconds. It moves on to something that's significant. And we also are able to challenge each other to get into places that are uncomfortable. And that's really part of being human, is getting uncomfortable. Now, do I want to, like, make someone cry all the time or I want to be on. No, of course not. But you build a level of trust. And that's, I think, the point of relationships, to be that ultimate mirror. If you're just unconscious together and hiding problems together and escaping together, not only are you're going to go down together, but your life's going to just smoke by before you even know it. And that's a whole thing too.
Yeah, that's good. And that's not to say that you can't ever like meet a half glass fuller and kind of pour into them and bring them up, because we're never all going to have our glasses full all the time. But if you put some intentionality into kind of creating that baseline, there's a greater chance that you will have more in your tank than someone who doesn't. Before we fully move away from the sunshine conversation, I have to ask you a question. I saw your Instagram post about sunning your testicles, and I need to know more about this. Is this something that every man should be doing? What are the benefits? Tell us.
I mean, I like that. That was epic. Everyone always asks me that. Yeah, I mean, we weren't designed to wear clothes, right? Just like we weren't really designed to live in buildings. We weren't designed to be living in temperature-controlled buildings and light-controlled buildings. These are all modern world, I guess, conveniences that have a Trojan horse aspect to it. And so if we can get sunlight, perennial sunlight, into areas that have been completely shut off from the natural world, we're probably looking at some increases in biochemical responses in the human body. And so there's some good data around sunlight getting into that area that increases kinesis in the body, which then increases hypothalamus, pituitary, adrenal access, you know, follicle stimulating hormone, and all of the testosterone production that really activates mitochondrial synthesis, especially. And that is really driving us to be at our peak. And so, yes, I like to do that. I think it's awesome. I feel really good doing it.
My brother-in-law does that here at the farm sometimes.
Your brother knows what's up. I mean, it's also primal too, right? So we talk about all the science behind it, but there's something primal about getting exposed to the sun and areas that some people have never had sunlight touch them in their entire life. Now, am I saying wander down the street naked in front of everyone?
I think finding the right spot is important and probably challenging for some people. And low testosterone, that's a big topic right now.
Huge.
What else can men do to support their testosterone levels naturally?
They can squat. That's squat one of the great squat heavyweights. You know, obviously, like, understand your body's ability, take time, don't get injured. Maybe you need to do a front kettle squat first or just air squats. But engaging your hamstring, your quads, your glutes, your psoas, almost every gain of function muscle from the neck down is occurring on the squat. You're causing such a force to occur that the central nervous system has to adapt to that stress. And that stress then releases, you know, secretags like growth hormone, adrenaline, other pituitary compounds. And in that process, your testosterone can spike. Another thing is, something like Shilajit, right? Which is a mineral dark black mumi resin. And the reason Shilajit's it's an adaptogen, but it's not a testosterone precursor per se, but it's just so densely filled with minerals. And most people are depleted of minerals. And if you don't have minerals in your body, you can forget about any type of like balance biochemically, right? And so that's a good way. Sunlight, of course, sprinting.
Those like fast twitch movements.
High intensity interval training is just key. VO2 max, all of those things are primary for longevity and preventing comorbidities down the line. And I'm a huge fan. Like, I'm not a long distance guy. Like, I'll go on like epic 7, 12, maybe 15 mile hikes, because that's an experience that I'm doing with my crew, whether it's Nepali Coast or somewhere in Iceland or even here in Laguna Beach. But in terms of training and cardiovascular, I'm more of a sprint guy. I love to sprint. I love to jump. I love plyometrics. And that's for both men and women. Everyone should do that. Yeah.
I know you've talked a lot about just jumping and and rebounding, or just like doing, just jumping, even if you don't have a rebounder, and how that benefits your lymphatic system. I actually will do like 20 jump squats after almost every meal. I try to.
I love it. I love that you're doing that, because we're not supposed to just be sitting around eating and not moving.
Right.
That, you know, sedentary life is the opposite of all things being equal, activation, optimization, health. Sedentary might be worse than bathing in toxic water. And you guys know how I feel about bathing in toxic water. That's a whole rabbit hole. We could probably do 10-hour conversation on that. Being infested and loaded with candida and parasites and microorganisms that are out of balance, I think sedentary lifestyle creates homes for all that. So the balance isn't there. So if you're not moving, not only are you metabolically challenging yourself, but immunologically, you're shutting down your body's ability to adapt. Your T1 cells, your natural killer cells all rely on movement. You have to activate the body. And people that are not walking at least 10,000 steps a day are really setting themselves up for failure. And I love the fact that you talked about jumping. Rebounding's awesome. Rebounding causes a slight G-force that opens up the lymph nodes and gets some plasma moving in the body. And it's really important for kidney function and detox pathways. Everybody's talking about, like, you know, the lymph now because of beauty stuff. Yeah. It's just so crazy.
Yeah.
We've been doing the craziest limb stuff our entire life. Rebounding is an excellent way of opening that up, especially with niacin and activated charcoal and hot saunas, like getting into that 160, 165 range.
So all of those things together.
It's a great combination. Cellular detox protocol 101. I put that on my social media.
Or after sauna.
So you rebound before the sauna. The sauna opens up the lymph.
Everything that you just mentioned.
Okay. So you drink 30 ounces of spring water with half a teaspoon of like Celtic or Icelandic sea salt. Then you take anywhere between 100 to 500 milligrams of niacin, B3, which
and
is the...
That'll flush you.
Yeah, you want the flush kind. And niacin is nicotinic acid. It's the precursor to NAD and NMN and all the other active B3 metabolites.
So the niacin flush isn't bad.
It's phenomenal. It's causing vasodilation.
I've had a few times and I'm like, what's going on? Like if I take it without food, that happens.
Yeah, I mean, I'm addicted to it because I know what's happening.
Yeah.
My cells are basically like scraping off metabolic excrement.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's phenomenal. So you jump on the rebounder, you take the niacin kind of at the same time, you start to flush, then you get into the sauna, a little bit of coconut oil. Yes, a little bit of coconut oil, maybe a gua sha, maybe some good breath work in there. You come out for about 5-10 minutes, get back in the sauna, do another 15-20 minutes, max it out, come out, and then hit, you know, half a gram of charcoal.
And then at
the very end.
Okay.
That's a really
on
fast.
On an empty stomach?
On an empty stomach. That's an easy, quick cellular detox.
That would be quite the routine.
Yeah. And you can probably knock that out in like 90 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's just 90 minutes and you're
someone did that
taking
like
the burden off. Yeah. Once a week, once
that
every
would
2 weeks.
Do a lot.
For sure.
Yeah.
The whole thing with people are scared to engage to do these things because they think it's so difficult. Mm-hmm. It's so hard. It's so out of their routine. Let me tell you, like, you got to just start sharpening the blade at some point. And you don't go from like a dull butter knife to a razor sharp knife after 2-3 days. So just give yourself some time. And once you start stacking some wins and the blade starts getting sharper, you get sharper.
Yeah.
And you start to feel that momentum, because health is all about momentum. Momentum is probably the perfect perspective to have on your health and your life cycle of health and staying in the health span before entering the disease span. And momentum can go any direction.
Mm-hmm.
This is a lifetime of moving. And once you start moving in any direction, the speed consequence increases.
Yeah.
It's inertia, right? It's like a boulder or like a snowball. The snowball's speed gets heavier as it gets, or gets faster as it gets heavier.
I was literally thinking about this morning. Like, I sometimes, after slacking off on making good choices, good health choices, I will start to feel sluggish and just not great. And then after like some consistency, after I implement some consistency again, I'm like, oh, like there's a shift. Like it's a switch. It could go one direction or the other direction.
Yep.
Exactly like what you're describing with the snowball. The snowball effect can go in either direction.
Yep.
And with some consistency, you know, in the right direction, it just becomes easier and easier and easier to continue on that direction. I want to talk about parasites because you know so much about parasites. How common are they? And what do people need to be aware of when it comes to parasites?
Parasites are common. Everybody's got parasites. It's part of being human. It's part of being in whatever this thing is. And we have to have a true understanding of how do we contract them? What does it mean to be in mutualism with them? And where does it get to a point where you do need to bring the burden down without the erratic mindset that I have to cleanse my body and detox, which actually takes you out of balance and puts more stress on the system. You can't actually approach a emotional or physical problem through a state of mind of fear. Fear will only perpetuate the problem. And from my understanding through anthroposophical wisdom is that when you're in a fear state, I don't care what biologics you work with, I don't care what the strategy is or modality, you're never or ever going to be able to penetrate where you're trying to get to in that state. And it makes total sense because the fear fight flight is really putting your body in a state of survival, mm-hmm. right?
It's the level of paralysis that there's no like progress becomes a lot more difficult.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're like, you just turned climbing up a nice hill into like a peak mountain where if you don't have a rope, you're going to be in trouble. And there's a really good book, Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. And that's a phenomenal book. I always talk about it because I've read it like 50 times. The zebra is just sitting in a pasture like this, mm-hmm. hanging with the family, eating the grass. And in a split second, six lions are chasing it to eat it alive in front of its kids. And it's got to activate flight within a second. So every single biological system in the body goes from homeostasis to extreme, from thermal to sweat to adrenaline to heartbeat. I can go on and on.
Yeah.
And about 9 times out of 10, the zebra gets away. Within 5 minutes of the lions giving up chase, the zebra's back to homeostasis like nothing ever happened. Completely, literally every metric is back. Yet humans are the exact opposite. We don't have a lion chasing us right now. But because of the news cycle, the cell phones, unregulated nervous system, you know, vagus nerve is completely out of whack, microbiome issues, neurotransmitter issues, heavy metals, parasites, and just trauma, like childhood trauma that just hasn't been worked on, you're constantly in that state. And if you're in that state and I tell you that you might have, you know, ringworm and other parasites like toxoplasmosis because you've been harboring cats in your house, and you eat sushi once a month, how are you going to handle that situation? You're not. So we got to get our nervous system into a balanced state before we approach something like parasites. That's first and foremost. And then there's a process of getting the lymphatic system going and getting the kidneys going before you do any type of detox plan. Because if you pour on materials and compounds, you know, wormwood or whatever it is, all the different compounds, and you have a clogged piping system, your lymph system is not open and your kidneys are a little bit underperforming, then you're just causing that stuff to recirculate throughout the body. Mm-hmm. And those are the people that get Herxheimer reaction, which is basically a common flu. It feels like you have the flu because you've disturbed the peace, you've created the attack. They're doubling down on antigens and other materials. They're pooping all over your body. And then all of a sudden, you don't have the pathways open to bring them out. And most of these parasites, they live behind biofilms. Biofilms are sludge and other materials that they have created a defense system around, whether it's in your liver or in your colon or in fatty tissue or in your brain or wherever it is. And so there is a very methodical way of approaching this. It starts with getting your nervous system regulated. From then, certain compounds, certain detox pathway strategies, maybe some IVs. We created a formula called Para-X, which in my opinion is the most thoughtful and sophisticated formula that's ever been created in the history of mankind.
Wow. And I've heard you describe it a few times. Can you give just a quick, maybe explain a few of the key ingredients in this product? Because it's really fascinating when I've heard you talk about it.
Well, there's over 36 compounds in there, but it's a little bit different than your standard, we call them weeds and seeds detox plans that are sold on social media that are just basically ground up material in capsules. We did the opposite of that. We use the actual bioactives of those materials through standardized extracts. These are liquid capsules that are made of thyme, clove, monolaurin, oregano oil that have been ozonated.
I love
who does that?
Ozone.
Okay.
I love that you guys did that.
We're berserk, you know? So if you don't know what ozone is, ozone's how the atmosphere cleans itself. After a rain, you can smell ozone. It's O3. It's a heavy oxygen molecule, and it basically rips through anything that has a specific polarity. So that's viruses, parasites, bacteria, infections. I do EBO ozone once every 3 months. It's a complete blood dialysis.
I've never done EBO. I want to, but
I haven't done
an ozone generator at home, and so I'll do rectal insufflations with the gas, or I have some ozonated olive oil suppositories. You guys should make those.
Yeah. I mean, you never know. Maybe. I mean, we're tripling down on our liposomal tech right now.
Okay.
So maybe that'll come back around, but I'm a big fan of all that. Anything ozone, I'm stoked for.
It's great for parasites, right?
Great for parasites, great for candida, great for infections, great for fungus and mold. We have so many cool compounds in there, like luteolin. But there's one of them specifically I want to talk about. Caffeic acid phenethyl ester is one of the main compounds that's in Para-X. And, you know, we have bees at our farm, and bee husbandry and understanding how bees work in our world is so full on. Like, I invite everyone to go into the Mysteries of the Bee lectures by Rudolf Steiner to really get a cosmic connection to what pollinators are in our world and how their sensitivities to our frequency is so measured and so received. And what's interesting is, you know what bee propolis is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Propolis is built up on the hive and acts as a shield and protector for the hive to not get infected with fungus and mold and other weird insects coming in there. So Mother Nature selected propolis as the protector of the pollinator's home. So if you can grasp what that means on a cosmic level, the intelligence around that and how important that decision is, the main compound in bee propolis is caffeic acid phenethyl ester. And that is antiviral, antimicrobial, antiparasite, anti-everything in the best way ever as a modulator. And so we have that as one of the 36 compounds that are in the Para-X formula. So the Para-X is not a search and destroy, kill everything in the body. That's not how that works. It's turning on the potential of the immune system to be able to see everything and removes the cloak on all the things that are bad and foreign in the body. It's really an impressive formula, and I'm just stoked to be part of it.
Yeah,
yep.
I really need to try it. I have been wanting to try it for a while. Is it something that you can take on an ongoing basis? Can anyone take it? What does that look like?
It's set up for adults just because it's such a radical formula that I don't recommend it to children.
Yeah.
And it's also, you could take it in perpetuity because it's not a cleanse.
Yeah.
It's activating so many things in the body. And so most people are under the gun immune system wise. And so I know people that have been on it for a year and a half straight and they swear by it and they love it. I take it probably 2-3 months on and then I take a few weeks off. And I get back on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe in cyclical nature of things. Unless it's like magnesium or B vitamins or certain things, most things supplement-wise, herbology-wise, you need to cycle.
So everyone has parasites. It's not about eradicating them completely. It's about not being overrun by them and some of the ways that we can strengthen the body. to not be completely taken over by parasites is to
lower the burden.
Yes, lower the
burden. You want to lower the burden.
So we can regulate our nervous system, take Para X, practice things that help the lymphatic system flow like it should. How do people come into contact with parasites, and how do we even like get them initially?
Well, I mean, there's things like H. pylori and Giardia and, you know, liver flukes and tapeworms and ringworms. I mean, it's full on, like, you know, the different types of microbes that are out there. You could walk barefoot on a farm and pick something up. You never know. It could be in the meat supply. It could be in the water supply. H. pylori is found in tap water, right? Raw fish, you know, your favorite pet. We're always potentially exposed to parasites.
Cats are particularly...
Cats carry toxoplasmosis, you know, and Toxoplasma gondii, when it's in the body and becomes toxoplasmosis, is a very interesting parasite where it burrows, it gets into the central nervous system. That's the cat parasite. I've talked about it before. It triggers, you know, frivolous behavior. There's a whole thing that when the rat gets the toxoplasmosis, the rat chases the cat to get eaten, go back to the host. So there's like mind control there. The laws of physiology and nature are very tripped out when you look at it from a broad perspective and not from like an allopathic lens. Mm-hmm. There's purpose behind everything. Everything in nature, everything around us right now, there's a perfect harmony of how microbes work. We see that in the mushroom world, in the fungi world. You know, how there's an innate intelligence on the communication and the bridges of how all these things are working. The same thing with parasites and microorganisms. Again, my thing is you don't want to be overburdened by it. If you have flukes in your liver, that's not a good thing. And we got to push that back down.
By lessening our parasitic load, we can take some of that burden off of the immune system so that it's strong enough to fight off whatever it comes into contact with. And when it's suppressed on a continuous basis, that's when you're saying like cancer or maybe autoimmunity, things like that are more likely to occur.
Exactly. Yeah. A dysregulated immune system that's constantly on like low grade inflammation, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, we want to have inflammation. Like if you sprain your ankle, right, your ankle is supposed to get swollen. Why? Because the body's sending blood there that has growth factors, white blood cells, natural killer cells, you know, different things that are help promote the healing of the tendons and the ligaments. You know, I don't know why we put ice packs on them. You're not supposed to do that because that constricts it and doesn't allow it to happen. Yeah, I'll get you back in the game tomorrow, but you keep doing that over time, you're going to have damage. It's the same thing with our immune system. We want to have an inflammatory response, but we don't want it to be constantly low grade. Low grade is what brings us towards disease.
Hmm. What about our thoughts, our mood? How do parasites affect the way we think?
I mean, it creates erratic behavior. You know, just think like a parasite. Why do they call it lunatics, right? Because it's, you know, there's ticks in the body and it's on the full moon.
Yeah.
There is evidence, like this doesn't have to get super airy fairy, but there's a cosmic connection to our sun and moon. The moonlight has a frequency to it. Why does it change the tides? Why does it activate certain people? Why do a lot of women menstruate towards the moon, either on the new moon or full moon? There's a whole thing to this.
My mom was a kindergarten teacher. She's retired now, but she said on the full moon, her class would be berserk.
Yeah, perfect word. Berserk. I love it. The moon has a frequency, and parasites have been shown to have reaction and activations during that time. And that maybe that's a time that they're there to express, to move around, whatever it is. There's a whole thing to that. And so in terms of behavioral, you know, your complete disregard for your metabolic safety on reaching for that double chocolate cookie at 11 p.m. could be a signal from a parasite. You never know, because they want sugar.
Yeah. And they want to destroy their host by definition, right?
They don't want to destroy.
Okay.
They want to take you to the brink, but they don't want you to die because they'll go with you.
Yeah.
Right. So they want to have you humming in that in that state and dysregulated state.
Because that's how they thrive.
That's how they thrive. I mean, there's a whole thing like, you know, you got to coax out the parasite to actually kill it. That's the whole thing. Like you put turpentine on a sugar cube, right? And the sugar brings them out and the turpentine comes as a solvent and waxes them out. And I definitely feel like the more overrun a human body is on parasites, it's in the brain, it's in the burrows. They like the myelin sheath. They like the soft tissue. You know, that's like gorging themselves with the perfect food. And it's like, this is epic.
Got a little geese audience.
And, you know, people are now correlating multiple sclerosis, MS, with, you know, doctors that have run samples post-mortem and seen that there is obvious signs of parasitic infections where these areas are. And so we have to figure this thing out. We got to be on top of it. And again, you can't come from a place of like freaking out and getting super scared. You got to just take it step by step and know that your body is meant to heal. We all have that potential. And that's why a lot of the things you asked me earlier about sunlight, proper sleep, grounding to the earth, whatever it is, those have to be in place. Because if those are not in place, forget about it. Mm-hmm. None of this thing will work out.
What about fasting in general? I want to hear your thoughts in general. And then when it comes to parasites, is it helpful in controlling your parasitic load at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm a huge faster. There's no clinical evidence that trumps caloric restriction in terms of reducing cellular senescence, which is basically cells going senile or going into a cancer state, than fasting. It beats everything out there. There's no pharmacology. There's no other method except fasting. Turning your body's entire digestive system off causes a recalibration of how the body goes through the citric acid cycle, which is basically, we learned it as mitophagy or cellular autophagy, things like that. Your body at some point in the fasted state tells every cell it's time to go and accumulate for energy purposes everything in the body that does not serve you. And that could be mold, that could be parasite, that could be cancer, that could be tumors, that could be benign or malignant, doesn't matter. That could be infections in the body. Before it starts wasting away the amino acid profile of your muscles, it's going to go after the visceral fat, right? That's the dangerous, high inflammatory response areas in the body, usually in the abdomen region that your body puts all the poisons at, because it pushes it away from the organs. And so for me, if you're not on some kind of fasting schedule, you're behind the boat completely. And I know it looks different for men and women, but there is a common law that you need to find the timeline that works for you through your own personal experience. I think every woman can get away with fasting for 24 hours a day once a week. Mm-hmm. It's not going to destroy your hormones. It's going to allow your body to reset a little bit. I personally like to go at least 48 hours for me. That's kind of my sweet spot. Usually after a day and a half, 2 days, that's when you kind of get through the like, I need to eat something. And the magic really starts to happen around that time. Intermittent fasting schedules are good too, to a certain degree. I like the one meal a day, the OMAD diet. I used to be someone that would eat at like 4 or 5 p.m. and then that was it. I've moved it up to my main meal being around 10 a.m. That's when our stomach acids are at its highest peak. I also like to go to sleep in a fasted state.
Yeah, I get the best sleep when I have fasted. I did a lot of fasting in between when I stopped breastfeeding my second child and when I got pregnant with number three, and haven't like fully gotten back into it since having number three. But today, in honor of this episode, since I knew you were into fasting, I've fasted all day, so I haven't eaten yet.
All right, let's go.
Cold, because I get colder fast, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm like, man, I remember this feeling. I miss this feeling of just being so clear-headed, so sharp, It really is like such a nice reset and refresh. And I know, like, I do hear that a lot, like it's not good for women, when women shouldn't do it. And to that I say, women have been fasting since the beginning of time, whether intentionally or out of necessity. And we are perfectly capable of that. I think you can overdo anything. And yes, like I do like factor my cycle into it and do it at the right times now, which I didn't do before. That's helpful. But we're not like these weaklings. Like we are totally capable of going without food for periods of time, if you do it the right way.
You are speaking music and symphony to my soul right now. I just really appreciate the courage you have for saying that and standing in your power.
I have to go back to my experience.
You got to go back to your experience.
Because I questioned it, you know, hearing this a lot, like women shouldn't fast, women shouldn't fast. I'm like, am I doing the right thing here? And then I'm like, no, I feel great every time I do it. And yeah, like I said, there's obviously nuances to it, but it's not something like, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
People are getting nociboed all the time, which is the opposite of a placebo. They're hearing something and then, oh yeah, it doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. Right. And that already setting yourself up for failure. Mm-hmm. Right. And we're such a, you know, species of reflecting everybody's energy around us and what they have to say. That's why words are so powerful. That's why spelling is casting spells. That's why word magic is real, is that we start hearing things, we start to believe these things. I learned that from a good friend of mine, Dr. Bruce Lipton. The biology of belief is real. And what you think and how you act and every emotion is ultimately creating the epigenetic channel of how your body starts to move throughout life. And so you hear a lot that fasting is terrible for women. How do you know that? Have you tried it? Have you experienced it? Have you gone into a fasting experience while being healthy, right? Are you eating healthy fats? Are you getting a good omega profile? Do you have good saturated fat in your body? If you're depleted, again, you have rotting cavitations in your mouth. You have heavy metal toxicity. I can go on and on. You're loaded with candida. I'm sure fasting is not going to feel good. But once you turn off the digestive system, it allows your body to search and destroy and remove everything that does not serve you. They say, you know, turn off the switch of the body of food and activate the soul. And so I'm a big believer in fasting. I've done long fasts. You know, I've gone into the 20s.
Wow.
You know, and it's a rite of passage. And this will be what I'll do for the rest of my life, for sure.
Yeah, love it.
Yep.
We haven't talked about hydration yet.
Yep.
Another big topic.
The most important. Everything is the most important topic.
It all matters.
I think we're catching a trend here. Is that there's a lot of value in these things.
I think a lot of people know the importance of drinking water and being hydrated. And I think people in general do drink a lot of water, but may still not be hydrated. Why is that?
I'm going to say it. I would say 90% of the country right now is clinically dehydrated.
Wow.
And maybe even more than that. Just understanding, just being around it, understanding what people are drinking and eating, understanding how they're living, the fact that they're not under sunlight, the fact that, you know, they're bathing in tap water, the fact that they're not getting the right salts in their body, things of that nature. These are all conditions to pushing hydrogen and water out of the body and acting as diuretics in almost everything that we do. If you pinch your skin and if your skin doesn't go back to proper form within like a second, you're definitely dehydrated. You see how mine's staying a little bit white?
Mm-hmm.
That means I'm probably a little bit dehydrated right now. And I can feel I'm a little bit dehydrated because my mouth is just a little bit dry.
We should have our hydrogen water.
Let's do it. We're going to throw
Symbiotica.
We're going to throw our molecular hydrogen in here.
Tablets.
This is epic. Check that out.
Cheers.
Salut. And so you can't properly digest food. You can't properly assimilate food and then ultimately evacuate food or activate all the things that your body needs biologically if you are lacking water in the cell. And not all water is equal. And water drank in the wrong form actually acts as a solvent. And it pulls and chelates things out of the body.
Wow.
And so
what is water in the wrong form?
Water in the wrong form is water that's been sitting in plastic, that might have come from some municipal tap water, and they've staged it through like a 12-stage, you know, filtration system, or not even 12-stage, maybe 4-stage, reverse osmosis, things of that. We're not, that's dead water. That water has no purpose. All it does is act as a solvent. Look at that right there. Look at those microbubbles. That's all hydrogen conversion in the H2O right there. Hydrogen is the foundation of life. It's the first element on the periodic table. It's the smallest element in the world. 97% of the world that we know of is made of hydrogen. It's the strongest and smallest antioxidant in the human body. And it neutralizes a very pesky free radical called hydroxyl that sits around the DNA and causes, you know, cellular senescence and radical aging and quick aging. Molecular hydrogen has over 1,500 peer-reviewed published studies on it. I've been a molecular hydrogen junkie. I got the Brown's gas machine at my house. I bathe in molecular hydrogen.
Do you put these tablets in the bath?
I sometimes put the tablets in the bath, but I also have a machine that does that as well. You'd probably need about like 20 of these to get a decent run.
You should sell like pucks.
Yeah.
Collaborate on that.
Yeah. Well, we looked at something like that. But
bath bombs, hydrogen bath bombs.
Hydrogen bath bombs would be a good idea. The dehydration thing is real. If you have dry mouth, you are really dehydrated. Dry mouth is like the last telltale sign, you know? And all of your symptoms, irregular heartbeat, brittle hair, skin issues, you know, not properly sleeping, chronic fatigue, all of that could be from a lack of electrolytes, salts, and water in the body. The potassium, the calcium, the magnesium, the sodium, if those are out of balance, then your internal pump, your sodium pump is off. If that's out of regulation, then your electrical system is off. Hydration just means electricity, essentially. It's just like the ocean. The ocean is a big current. That's how, you know, dolphins and whales are signaling. That's how sharks are able to like understand where they're going. It's through that salt current. It's the same thing with the human body.
So it's not just drinking the water. It's actually getting it into the cell. And how we do that is through minerals.
It's through minerals and salts. Yeah, combination of those. So like every rise when I get up, I do a combination of molecular hydrogen and I do a half teaspoon of Icelandic or Celtic sea salt. And I
together
and I slowly drink that. I don't wolf it down.
Yeah.
I experience it. I slosh it around my mouth. I let it get into the cellular membranes in my mouth. And I visualize what's happening. Mm-hmm. I can see my cells feeling the electric current and then absorbing that water, that hydrogen in there. Because you could drink all the water, but is it actually getting into the interstitial tissue? Is it actually getting into the marrow? Is it getting into the cells? Most of the time, it's not. And now you're just pulling stuff out of your body, and then you're drying up everywhere, and then you're cosmetically trying to put things over it so you can look and feel better about yourself when the whole time you're completely dehydrated.
Yeah.
It's kamikaze.
What about tap water? What do people need to be aware of when it comes to tap water? Why should they avoid it, either drinking or bathing, showering in tap water?
This has become like, you know, your viral reels now, people talking about tap water. Tap water is just dead water. Not only has it got fluoride and chlorine in it.
Pharmaceuticals, right?
Very likely, depending on if you're in a metropolitan city and they do gray water capture and they do all that stuff, it's very likely that you're getting exposed to certain, certain, like, they're steroids, right? You're getting some type of compound in there that's affecting your hormone centers. Mm-hmm. And a lot of contraceptives are flushed down the toilet and pharmaceuticals and things like that. But we also have glyphosate and we have other weird insecticides and herbicides, fungicides. These things are inherent in our water streams and in our municipal tap water. They're not protected by an aquifer, right? And so I always say the fastest way of getting a toxin or drug in the human body is not by drinking it. It's by bathing in it. Why? And people will usually go, because your skin's the biggest organ. That's part of it. But you're breathing in the vapor. A lot of people like to take hot showers. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, you can't take a hot shower at your hotel in downtown LA. Like, don't do that. Don't sit in the bathtub in there. I don't care how pretty the jacuzzi is in that penthouse.
Oh, that's so true.
It's just like, it's common sense. And you can be eating all the best food and doing all your green juices and doing all the cool stuff, but then you're just mainlining thousands of harsh chemicals into the body that have a very difficult time to get out. And these are the same materials that are feeding the parasites, you know, that are feeding certain things in the human body that they love to proliferate on.
Yeah.
And so, like, just like iron exposure too, like, you know, a lot of bacteria and infections in the body love iron. And iron is gnarly for the human body if it's in the wrong form and the body's not absorbing it and storing it properly. That's what we were talking about the other day when we launched our colostrum formula, is that a big part of our full spectrum colostrum is lactoferrin. Lactoferrin is basically milk driving iron. That's the combination of it. And it takes the iron where it needs to do, where it needs to go. So that kind of reminds me of bathing in tap water. So get a heavy filtration system and drink spring water.
And what if you are somewhere where you know the water's not clean, you have to, you're staying at a hotel or whatever, you need to shower. What do you recommend? Like 2-minute lukewarm shower?
There it is. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just be practical.
Yeah.
Just don't sit in there for 10, 15 minutes and on hot water scrolling your phone.
Yeah. Easy.
The phone scrolling thing is really insane. I just have to mention this. So I went to a Laker game a couple weeks ago, and we're so like not present. I went to the bathroom in the middle of like the second quarter, and every dude in the stall were going to the bathroom and on their phone. And I was so berserk. I yelled at everyone. I said, even while you're in the bathroom doing a holy sacrament of urinating, you're scrolling your phone, you couldn't let it go. Just be one with the urination. Sorry, that just popped in my head.
How did they respond?
Couple people laughed. Couple people looked at me like I was crazy. One guy behind me was like, yeah, you're right. You know? Because sometimes you just got to like snap people out of their bullshit.
So true.
You know, it's like a pattern interruption. I'm a pattern interrupter.
Yeah. It seems like you just can't really help it.
I can't help it.
Yeah.
Anytime I see someone who's just like in their like in the motions, I got to like throw a lightning strike at them.
I love it.
Yeah, and sometimes it hits.
We don't need that sometimes.
Their whole life goes in another direction. Yeah. Or sometimes it's like, you're crazy.
And then, but maybe they'll think about it later. Mm-hmm. You know, you're planting a seed.
Planting a little seed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about alkaline water? Is alkaline water total BS?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alkaline water, especially on some of those devices, is a disaster, in my opinion. Natural alkalinity from minerals from spring water is one thing, but electrolysis on water that's coming out of a tap, that's not it. And if you raise the pH of that water to, let's say, in the 9s, now you're causing a disturbance in the gut. And the gut and the oral microbiome and the acidity of the hydrochloric acid, which is made of what? It's made of chloride, salt. That's why you need salt, is your first line of defense. Before anything else, your first line of defense is your stomach acids. And that's all the enzymes, that's the hydrochloric acid. And so if you're just drinking like tap alkaline water, you're neutralizing that, because it won't happen once or twice. But if you're drinking that 4 or 5 days a week for 2-3 years, what's happening to the alkalinity or the acidity in your gut? You're becoming overly alkalized. And alkalized people have trouble, have a lot of trouble. And they're the ones that get sick all the time and have problems.
No one ever says that.
No one says
it. Always blame acidity.
Yeah, no. Interstitial acidity becomes a problem if you become acidosis and acidic. And that's from processed foods and not having good current in the body and being dehydrated. This is completely different.
So alkaline, I always thought alkaline water didn't actually alkalize the body.
It doesn't alkalize the body. You're right. But what it does is it causes a disturbance in the pH in the gut.
Okay.
And we need the pH in the gut to be in that 1.8, 2.0 range. We need it to be breaking things down properly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was told once to do like a half a teaspoon of baking soda, mix that with water, and that actually has an alkalizing effect on the whole body.
Yeah.
I'm
a big fan of that. Don't do that every day.
Okay.
But do that towards your cleansing and towards your fasting. Okay. I'm a huge fan of sodium bicarbonate. Just don't use the Arm & Hammer. Use like a food grade.
So we're big fans of animal-based products at Primally Pure, and Symbiotica just launched their first animal-based product, which is the liquid colostrum that you're holding. I have some too. And tell us about it.
I mean, this is a dream come true. You know, I'm a qualitarian, which means that I consume foods that come from quality places. I've discerned them. And I've been a big fan of colostrum for at least since 2010, so about 15 years. And colostrum was one of those things that back then was kind of on the black market, you know, and we knew a crazy guy that would go to these small 50 cow farms in Colorado Springs and cryogenically freeze the colostrum and sell them for tens of thousands of dollars a pound. It was a whole thing. And all the professional athletes that I know that were on it. And, you know, it's an anabolic material. Anabolic, it's like, you know, builds, right? Versus catabolic, breaking things down, detoxifying. And so the more I learned more about it, the more I just got fascinated with it. And then I took a trip over to Iceland. We have a lot of family and friends in outside of Reykjavik, and went to a family farm over there that literally their whole reality is colostrum. And I spent a couple of days with them. And this is like 10 generation family. And I was on it and I was just getting jacked and getting strong. And I was training at the world gym over there. I weighed like 220 and I was just like at a peak. And ever since then, I've been a big fan of colostrum. And then with Symbiotica, you know, I've just been floating the idea of us being able to bring it. I think it was a perfect bridge to go to getting out of fully plant-based and entering that phase. And for me, it was all about sourcing. I had to see where we could figure out how to bring in the best source. And me and my brother, my partner, Shahab, he's my partner in Symbiotica, he's a childhood friend of mine. We've just been going back and forth on this for years. And we both agreed that we wanted to do this, but we'd have to find the right source. And so after 2-3 years of looking, I finally got referred to a group that is a family-owned operation, fourth generation from Minnesota. And they had every certification you can imagine. That was the first thing that allowed me to get through that barrier. And then I went over there and met them. And they're just like the sweetest family of all time, and their kids. And then went out to the farms, and at that point realized, okay, now we got something here that's potential. And then I went through their practice of how they reserve the final tranche after the calves got fed, which is common sense animal husbandry, and that they do a cryogenically freeze process. So all of the aminos, the peptides, the growth factors, the IgGs, all the immune function compounds in there are completely stabilized. And nothing is denatured, and it doesn't go through some gnarly pasteurization process. It's bioactive, because the moment you pasteurize dairy, it becomes a toxin. You know, like, just it's just common sense. You're killing the enzymes. Your body can't recruit the mineral base. Then it becomes a lactose intolerant. That whole thing's such a pile of shit. I don't even want to. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. So we had Mark McAfee, who's the owner of Raw Farm, the largest raw dairy operation in the world, out a few months ago, and it was a great episode all about raw milk.
I support them. God bless them. You know, one of my good friends works with them. He's a fighter. And so, yeah, I mean, that is nature's, you know, offering. Mm-hmm. That is it's a medicine, if you will. And so once I got the material, I was just blown away. I was like, I wanted to bathe in this stuff. You know what I mean? It's just like, you could.
It'd be great.
For sure. Why not? And then we are Symbiotica. We are the masters at liposomes, and we are the masters at emulsions. And we're the masters at doing it without weird toxic flavor systems, weird toxic preservative systems, doing it with complete intention, understanding pH, water activity, water content. Literally, like, this is our IP. This is our intelligence.
Can you explain the benefits of liposomal delivery for our audience?
Liposome means encapsulated in a phospholipid or a fat. It's basically taking a supplement, turning it back into the food. We're not designed to be doing powders and capsules. You know, the salinity and the acidity of our saliva and our gut acids and other factors in the GI tract have no way of determining what this is. And so by wrapping it into a phospholipid or a fat, we're protecting those nutrients so they can make their way through the GI, through the upper layers, into the large intestines, and ultimately through the epithelial layer to get digested properly. So we're turning supplements back into food. This was created in the 70s for drug delivery systems because you had to get the exact ratios in there. And we're doing it today in the modern health world, but combining it with ancient alchemy. Ayurveda, TCM, now things like this.
Makes a lot of sense. So people are taking all these powder encapsulated supplements and not actually absorbing. Like, how much would you say people are absorbing of those?
That's a tough question because it just depends on what it is. If it's a mineral, if it's an herb, completely different. But I would say for the most part, you're missing out at least 40-50% of what the claimed value is.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. And that's, people are expecting results and they're paying a lot of money for these things. And for us, we want not only to have full absorption, but we want it to be experiential. There's like an organoleptic experience, like the flavor, the taste. All of our products are all flavored by organic terpenes, literally the expression of fruits and plants. We don't use any synthetic natural flavors or any of that kind of stuff. We use real raw terpenes, which is nature's expression. So the colostrum isn't technically a liposome, but my point is that it's basically fat in an emulsion. So the body recognizes it as a food. And this was literally a dream for us because this has never been done before. And typical Symbiotica fashion. Yeah, this, at least as an emulsion,
yeah.
It's never been done. I've seen some tinctures out there, but I'm not sure how they did that or what that even means. I haven't investigated that. But this is the first full spectrum, non-denatured, fresh colostrum that just was harvested literally not 2 months ago and put immediately into an emulsion. So this is as fresh as it's like made to order. I mean, I'll say this. All Symbiotica products are pretty much made to order. We're going through such a fast clip that we don't stock up for 2 years, if you get what I'm saying. They're literally made to order. And so when you're getting a Symbiotica product, you're getting something that literally just came off whatever farm or whatever extraction process and is ready to rock and roll. And this is it right here. This
very similar to Primally Pure, how we do things.
Like attracts like, you know, that's how it is, right?
So what are the benefits of the colostrum itself? You mentioned that you were in the gym, you felt stronger. I know there's gut benefits, skin benefits. Tell us about it.
I mean, you just feel good. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the first thing that I'll say. We just did our launch 2 days ago. So I was down at the Symbiotica campus. So it was a couple days ago. And if you haven't watched it, I went berserk. For about a little bit over an hour. I had my sidekick, Shilpa Rout. She's our VP of R&D. She's incredible. She's a PhD wizard. And me and her went crazy talking about every single thing in here, how it works, what it means for gut permeability, what it means for skin health, what it means for energy levels, what is colostrum, what is lactoferrin, one of the main compounds in there, how do immunoglobulins work, all of those things. Just look at it like this is... What is colostrum in nature? It's how the mother prepares the newborn calf to activate their immunological senses. So it's basically, it's inoculating the baby calf, right? To turn on the wisdom.
In a good way.
In a good way, yeah. A good inoculation.
Yeah.
Just like how a baby goes through a womb, right? And the fluids, right? And if you're C-section like me, I was born C-section.
Too.
Okay, so we got this.
Commonality.
We got this. This is why we chose this path, right? It's not random. And so think of colostrum as just like an umbrella of health in every sense of the way. And the best tasting material of all time. Like when we first had it, we were almost in tears. We couldn't believe because we mixed that with Icelandic sea salt that I harvested. You got to see the videos, which is in the northwest part of Iceland, which literally they use geothermal water to create a heating system to salinize the sea salt that's coming from the fjord. It's unbelievable. And it turns into this white, flaky, full spectrum crystal. That's the sea salt we have with this colostrum and organic vanilla extract.
That's insane. That's
it. Try it.
Can I try it? Can I break my fast with this?
Let's break your fast. Oh, perfect.
Best thing, right?
Okay. Here we go.
Oh my gosh. This is really, really good. It's like a dessert.
It's like a dessert.
Wow.
It's your favorite, like, French vanilla.
This is insane.
Ice cream.
Wow.
And so you just got 1.5 grams of full spectrum colostrum. Yeah.
I think I want to really savor it.
This might change the world. Ugh. I'm going to just say it right here. Symbiotica colostrum. No, I'm just kidding. But this is different. I mean, this is a big deal.
What are your other top supplement recommendations for skin health specifically?
Well, you know, we have our Healthy Glow formula, which is a novel beauty formula, and it's got all kinds of compounds in there that pair well with this. Our liposomal vitamin C, you know, that's part of the process of how protein is synthesized to create collagen. I think that's a phenomenal angle. So if you combine colostrum, Healthy Glow, vitamin C with hydration, your skin is stoked. And your skin is basically a representation of your body as well. You know, anything that can help the detox pathways as well and liver health. So our glutathione CoQ10 PQQ combo, which is basically, you know, helping lower the burden of toxicity in the body. That's really good for the skin as well.
Amazing.
We also have a CMOS product that's coming out. I don't know if I'm supposed to be talking about it, but it's got, you know, a pretty good dosage of organic Irish CMOS with two trademark compounds in there that come with clinicals that it's phenomenal. Yeah. We're doing some cool shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good. And I want everyone to know, like, Shervin didn't pay to come on here. I invited him on. Like, I am wanting him to talk about these products because
I didn't want to talk about them.
And, well, I wanted you to because people need to know about them. And you have so much expertise. And I would really encourage people to download this episode, take away what you can, implement what you can now, and then re-listen a few months from now. And I guarantee you there will be more nuggets of information to pull out of
it. Yeah, don't be stressed out on this information. This is all stuff that you can just slowly start implementing. And again, it's not crazy rocket science. It's just common sense approach. Do yourself, you know, the greatest gift is this act of self-love. You're worth it. You're worthy. Life isn't over. It's not too late. Walk more every day. Get in the sunlight. Surround yourself with beautiful people that see you. Offer yourself, you know, the sophistication of eating foods that you know are going to take you higher. Things that are bad for you, just, you know, be curious and why you did it in the first place. You know, it's just like, be the investigator. That's probably the main thing, is like, investigate your life. Every night before I go to bed, it's a Rosicrucian practice. I investigate my entire day. I really evaluate what went on today. How did I react to certain thing? What irritated me about certain people? That's the Carl Jung philosophy. I start to investigate because I want to get better and better and better and start sharpening that blade. You do that for 30 days, investigate your day. Not only are you on a totally different level psychologically, but your memory capacity goes through the roof. Like, I always tell, like, what did I do last Tuesday at 7 a.m.? Like, I do test, I test like that, because if you're not creating that kind of impulse bandwidth, you're losing it, right? And so just push yourself a little bit. Have fun.
So good.
Yep.
So good. Symbiotica is also offering 20% off and free shipping to our listeners. Oh, so man. You can go to symbiotica.com/groundedwellness for 20% off your order and free shipping. Shervin, thank you so much for coming out. It's so fun to have this conversation with you.
It's an honor to be here, and we'll definitely do this again. We might do this in Hawaii, or I might have you guys come to Laguna and do it.
Yeah.
We got an epic spot there, and we can actually start going deeper into some of these things.
Yeah. We did like a really high level overview of a lot of different things, but
more implementation.
We could have sat here for hours, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. It's an honor.